This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Marathon gas stations, every stop is the start of fun. Like the awesome fuel savings you can get with Marathon Rewards. Join Marathon Rewards today and start earning rewards on every gallon of gas. You can redeem rewards at any time, saving up to $1 per gallon. And don't forget, Marathon stations are packed with all the conveniences you need to stock up and live life on the go. Marathon, where fun runs on full. Available at participating Marathon locations. Terms and conditions apply. See MarathonRewards.com for details.
Pancetta, mushroom, tortellini. You can eat smart, still fit in your bikini. I ordered Blue Apron, I've been happy ever since. They sent pre-portioned meals, I don't make no measurements. Saute the pancetta, then I add the mushrooms. Large skillet, cause you can't have too much room. Garlic pesto, tomato paste. Calabrian chili, season the taste. Order Blue Apron today.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Joining me now via the phone line is David Cobb from CBS Sports, College Football, College Basketball for them. Also, role player here at the station, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show at 5 o'clock. And then on Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company. You can follow him on X at David W. Cobb. David, how's it going, brother? Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday and happy conference championship game weekend.
Yeah, and we have some games tonight. How about that? And a potential coach for Memphis starting here at 6 o'clock in Jerry Mack at Kennesaw State. I'll be locked in. I'll be absolutely locked in.
Okay, see, when you said a potential Memphis coach, I thought you might be going in a different direction there, you know, because there's another guy who the fans want that is,
sure.
That is also coaching.
Yesterday I was at 0% for that guy, Dan Mullen. At UNLV. I heard some things after I got off air yesterday that have probably bumped that up to 15-20%. I get the idea that he's listening. Listen, this is what I think at this moment. I think there's three bigger players: Jerry Mack, Charles Huff, and Dan Mullen. And it's kind of a legit coaching search here. Like this is a big boy coaching search in the sense that the boosters with the money, the people that will ultimately write the checks for the coach, they like Dan Mullen. And I feel as if Ed Scott really likes Jerry Mack for the local ties and also don't have to pay him as much in a coaching contract. He would jump at the opportunity. And the other thing about Jerry Mack that I think people need to realize, he could bring over a really good quarterback in Amari Odom. Yeah. And if you don't spend that extra money on a buyout, that extra money on a coaching contract, you could spend that on the roster. And that would be better for Jerry Mack. But obviously Dan Mullen is a big get and it would be exciting.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how realistic Dan Mullen is. The boosters can want him until they're blue in the face, but he has to want
right.
to come to Memphis.
Yes.
He has to want to leave UNLV after one season, and Memphis has to make that really, really appealing for Dan Mullen at this stage in his career to bounce up out of UNLV after 1 year for another G5 job. And let's not pretend like UNLV is a bottom-of-the-barrel G5 job. It's a good G5 job, as he's shown by making the Mountain West Conference Championship game in his first year. Obviously, he was well-resourced enough to do that in year one. My guess, and it's a guess, would be that he is using or might use Memphis's interest as a bargaining chip to get what he needs for next year's team.
Yes, so, but that's the catch. UNLV's not doing well on money. I mean, they're not rich by any stretch of the imagination. I think that Memphis's fundraising arm and their boosters can definitely you know, afford a contract. Like, they're willing to give that money. I don't know if UNLV is the same. They did get a $10 million donation for, like, nutrition and stuff like that. So maybe that could keep Mullen there. I think the biggest hurdle is I don't think Mullen wants to look like a job hopper. I think that really is the biggest hurdle at this moment.
Well, and he's one more good season away at UNLV from being in the mix for a number of P4 jobs. I mean, who's to say he wasn't, couldn't have been in the mix for some this year. I think he could have. I think he could have been in the mix for some this year. He didn't bite or didn't get those jobs or whatever the case may be. But he's one more good season away from being right back in the mix for whatever big jobs might come open next cycle. So if you jump to Memphis, then you put yourself, if your goal is to get back to the Power Four, then are you going to jump after one year at Memphis? Are you going to go one year? Or, you know, because if I'm Memphis, I would need some sort of commitment that, like, hey man, like, you're not just going to come here and just look to jump immediately, are you? Right. And I just don't know that how logical the Dan Mullen thing is really for everybody. But don't get me wrong, Gabe, I'll be thrilled. I'll be thrilled if it happens. I think it'd be great. I think Jerry Mack is far more realistic and also a very exciting hire. I mean, this is a guy that has in one season turned around a Kennesaw State program that is brand new to the FBS. Like, when you talk about in this era, just go get a ball coach and a guy that knows how to win. I think that Jerry Mack is showing us right now that's exactly who he is. And so maybe people don't recognize that name, even though he is from Memphis, even though he's been on staff at Memphis, even though he's been on staff at Tennessee. I understand he's not as well known as Dan Mullen. Doesn't mean he's not a good coach. And as you mentioned, Amari Odom, he ended the season ranked among my top 50 in quarterbacks. And that's really hard to do when you're in Conference USA. So I do get excited about the possibility of, you know, and I almost think it works to Memphis's detriment that he's from Memphis, because he's going to get labeled as, oh, he's the Memphis hire.
Well, and he was on the Larry Porter staff, so that's been a, you know, talking point, which is ridiculous. So unfair. He was 31 years old. He left as soon as he saw it wasn't working.
I mean, I think that's absurd. There's a lot of good coaches who have been on bad staffs at various points in their careers. And sometimes those are the experiences that make you better. So I don't think that should work to his detriment at all. I just think it is a little bit unfair that if it is Jerry Mack, there people are going to say, well, he's getting hired because he has local ties and, you know, he's the local
that's
guy.
That's untrue, right? Though. He's been successful as a head coach. I know that's just the 1 year exactly. At the FBS level. But listen, FCS has translated. It's translated to the big show, right? Kurt Cignetti at one point. I'm not comparing one for one. You know, Bob Chesney. Like, there's a lot of guys that Kalen DeBoer, right? Like, there's a lot of coaches that have taken smaller schools of the promised land, gone to FBS, and had a lot of success. I'll say this, though, and I said this off the top of the show. Whether it's Jerry Mack, Dan Mullen, Charles Huff, if it's one of those three names, I'm happy. Like, I would enjoy all of those hires.
I couldn't agree more. I think either way. I think the Dan Mullen thing, the problem with it is that it sets up the others to be disappointing, because you look at some of these other searches, like Florida fans being disappointed with John Summerall. Are you kidding me? I mean, if Florida hadn't hired him, there were four other SEC schools that were lined up for him. Mm-hmm. And you're disappointed with that guy. Why? Because you wanted Lane Kiffin. And I feel like Dan Mullen is the Lane Kiffin.
Right.
Of the Memphis search, you know, the what he was for Florida, right? So that's the only problem, is that name being, you know, being bandied about in this search, I think sets Memphis fans up for disappointment if it's not him, when in reality you would have no grounds for disappointment with Charles Huff or with Jerry Mack. Both these guys are proven head coaches. They've coached at multiple levels under great coaches and great programs. Like, there's nothing about either of those candidates that suggests they wouldn't be successful when given Memphis's resources.
I 100% agree. And I'll say this about Dan Mullen. Like, the coaching job he did with UNLV, it's been very good. Anthony Calandrio has been a good quarterback. Their offense has been great. But they kind of resemble this year's Memphis team, right? Where offensively, come out of the gate strong, look good, but defensively they haven't really been consistent. They have not been able to sort of figure that out. So if Dan Mullen were to be at Memphis, you have to nail the DC hire. And then again, like you said it, he would be here for a short period of time, but I think Memphis fans, and clearly the boosters, would be willing to trade that short period of time for a college football playoff or – American title. Quite frankly, I would too, but you'd be back at square one in a couple of years.
Yeah, you would hope to at least get a few years out of whoever is next. Like if it's Jerry Mack, for example, he's probably not going to come in and go, even if he comes in and goes 10-2 and makes the AAC championship game next year, the big boys, like the jobs who you would really want to leave for, are probably going to want to see a little bit more, right? Before they jump on him after one season, at Memphis. Whereas like Dan Mullen, I don't know, like he's been a proven head coach at the Power Four level before, so you wouldn't necessarily need a lot of evidence to poach him from Memphis after one season. So, I mean, I think with Mullen, you also run the risk too of Jeffrey and I were talking about this yesterday, just really trying to uncover how motivated he is at this stage in his career.
Sure,
he's done the SEC thing. He likes to play golf. Those are two things right there that make him like Hugh Freeze, and you certainly don't want that.
Dan seems like a way better guy, way better personality than Hugh Freeze.
I agree. I'm just thinking,
but I know exactly what you mean. It's he's in the later stages of his career, just got back into it. He has fallen from grace. I don't like coaches on the come down, but Dan Mullen has shown with UNLV this year. I mean, seems like he's plenty motivated.
Well, he got a raw deal at Florida too. I mean, he really did. Like, if you go and look,
Florida fans would love the early years of Mullen at this moment. But
oh my God,
they may be great here. We'll talk about Florida with the Faulkner hire, but they would trade that in right now.
Yeah, they would. The Faulkner hire was interesting because I guess his name was getting a little bit of traction in the Memphis search as a name to know, name to watch. Big time hire by Florida. Mm-hmm. To get him as their OC. I don't know. There's a lot still going on in this on this carousel. And now tonight will be interesting because the Jerry Mack thing, the Dan Mullen thing, like it feels like we're going to get a resolution after these games. And I'm not saying tonight, but for this Memphis coaching search, it feels like there's a domino that's going to fall once these guys get done coaching their teams tonight.
Yeah, by Monday, I think there will be a new coach at Memphis, and he'll hit the ground running recruiting. And I have to give a shout-out to Reggie Howard, the interim head coach. He was a GA when I was there at the end with Norvell. He's kept the recruiting class afloat, highest ranked in the American Conference, even though they don't have a coach. So that's nice to see. Last thing on the Memphis coaching search, then we'll move on. This, what I explained, right, where you have boosters wanting one guy, they're throwing around money, Ed Scott wants another guy, maybe a little cheaper, maybe a little bit more of a long-term solution. This is sort of how the big boys do it, right? Like, this is how this works, the Power Four level. Sometimes they agree, sometimes they disagree, but boosters throwing around money, boosters trying to get their guy, like that's a good thing for Memphis, ultimately, right?
It is, but then it becomes incumbent upon Ed Scott, if it's not the guy that the boosters want, to really sell the hire.
The disagreement, sorry to cut you off, the disagreement's not great, but I that's how I feel. That's how a lot of these things feel like they go in like the SEC and otherwise.
Memphis is a big boy job, so that's the way it should be. Outside of South Florida, and I think really it's the beauty lies in the eye of the beholder. Like if you're Brian Hartline, and maybe South Florida is more appealing to him, but you go and ask another coach, maybe Memphis would be the most appealing G5 job, and then Tulane's obviously open, but I think Memphis is more attractive than Tulane, and so it is a big boy job, man. I think it's a better job than some Power Four jobs. It's a better job than Boston College, than Syracuse, than some other Big 12 and ACC jobs right now. I mean, it's because of the success that you can have. If you're better resourced than your competition, you can come to Memphis, generate a lot of victories. If you mess up, it's not the end of the world because you don't have the eyes of the nation on you every day. Memphis isn't going to run you out of town for going 9-3 or 10-2 or whatever.
get to a conference championship and you'll bide some time.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it took a long time.
The athletic department won't fire you. They won't
exactly
get rid of you.
Like, you're not legitimately going to be on the hot seat. I mean, so anyway, but yes, it is a big boy job. So I'm glad to see that the the boosters and the folks in charge of the search over there at the athletic offices are treating it as such, because this isn't just some random run of the mill job. This is a big time college football coaching job.
Yep. Now we brought up Buster Faulkner, great hire for Florida. I did hear that he would have interviewed today for Memphis if he had not gotten that gig, and he's going to get paid very handsomely at Florida. They were in contact, though. I would have loved that hire. But Billy Napier to James Madison. I hate to say it, and I know the Florida thing's still on our brain. I like it. I really do. He had a lot of success at the G5 level. But also, at the same time, you know, I question, like we talked about earlier, like the come down. Is he going to be as motivated? Because we've seen that in the past. But Billy Napier seems plenty motivated. He's a lifetime ball coach. This is what he does.
Sunbelt Billy back in the Sunbelt. You love to see it. I think he should be pretty good at James Madison, because James Madison cares. They invest. They want to be at the top of the league. I think Billy Napier is actually a pretty good CEO. But for the love of all things holy, give up play calling, man. It is just not your thing anymore. Like, it is not your thing. So I hope he hires an OC, because if not, then he clearly didn't learn his lesson. But the fact that he wants to get back in so soon, I mean, I think it shows he does have the appetite, because you can sit fat and happy with that Florida buyout for quite some time, and he's obviously choosing not to do that.
Yeah. Now, Penn State seems like we're zeroing in on a guy, Matt Campbell. Is he finally going to leave Iowa State? Seems that way now.
Wow. You talk about backing into a good hire.
Right.
I'm not saying Matt Campbell's like going to lead Penn State to a national title, but he is a very, very competent, good, proven, still young football coach. I mean, he kind of checks all the boxes. The only thing that he's missing is like experience in the big game world that is Penn State football. I mean, this is a guy who played D3, who's cut his teeth in the MAC, who's been at one of the lesser heralded Power Four jobs for a decade. So, I mean, if there's one knock on the guy, it's that he doesn't have experience on a high level P4 staff. But and this, again, I just don't think it matters as much, because if you can win at Iowa State in this era with their resources, what can you do at Penn State? Who's to say he can't be their Cignetti or their Clark Lee? I think he very well could be. And I mean, how hilarious would it be if, after getting told no by five or six or however many different coaches, if Matt Campbell ends up being the guy who really takes Penn State to the next level? I think at minimum he'll be a 9-10 win on the reg sort of coach there, and then we'll see if he can kind of cycle up and get him to that next level. But with their resources and his track record, I think it's a pretty good fit.
Yeah, I agree. I like Matt Campbell a lot, although when he has expectations, he seems to, you know, come in below them, and when he doesn't, he exceeds them and, you know, gets to championship games and wins them. But let me ask you this. Would you rather have James Franklin or Matt Campbell? Because, like, with this Penn State job, you have to, you know, take into consideration, they got rid of one of the better coaches in America.
No, they did. So if you're just asking me that in a vacuum, I'd rather have James Franklin. I really would. But I understand, like, they felt like they had to make a move, because, you know, you talk about, like, the boosters, they get set up. The people who buy season tickets and who donate to your NIL fund, they get set up. And when they get fed up and they stop spending their money, well, you have to reinvigorate them somehow. The only way to do that sometimes is by firing the coach. So, like, I understand why Penn State had to do it. And honestly, man, who did they think they were going to hire? That was a definite upgrade.
Even Kalani Sitake's a downgrade, in my opinion, even though he's been great.
It is. So, like, unless you're getting, Andy Reid or Nick Sirianni or somebody, like, who did you think you were going to get? It's just ridiculous. But they have no right to be disappointed if they end up with Matt Campbell as their head coach.
Yeah. Now, I brought up Kalani Sitake. He's playing in championship week against Texas Tech, who drubbed him first time around. It's a really good team in Texas Tech. Defense is good. Offense has been sputtering a bit because of the quarterback situation. But BYU, we talk about them not being respected. They're not in the 12-team field. Why do you think they were ranked at 11 the way they were? Is it just simply the committee saying, if you win against Texas Tech, you're in, and if you're not going to move? If you don't win, you're not going to move very far.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with BYU is the I would comp their resume kind of like to Notre Dame's in a sense that it's just very light on meaningful wins. I mean, Notre Dame beat USC. That's their marquee win. BYU beat Utah. I mean, that's their marquee win. Neither of those teams are going to the playoff. And you look at like the lack of dominance. And I think I know wins and losses matter more than anything. Don't get me wrong. But when you're trying to parse through teams that have very similar resumes, like you have to look at the eye test and the level of game dominance. I mean, this is a BYU team that last week was down 14-0 against a very bad UCF team at home. And there's just been multiple instances like that throughout the season where they've been in danger against some very mediocre and not great football teams, especially early on. So, I mean, I think that's why BYU is not getting more respect, even as an 11-1 team. And but, I mean, at the same time, like, I think you can look at their situation and say the Big 12 is respected. I mean, Utah is highly ranked. And then if BYU pulls the upset and beats Texas Tech, like the Big 12 is going to get two teams into this playoff. I mean, I think that's a pretty close to a lock. So I don't interpret any disrespect with BYU or the Big 12, to be honest.
What happens in the SEC title game? Georgia versus Bama again. And I do have this take. It feels like Bama's trending in the wrong direction and Georgia has been trending in the right direction for some time.
Well, you're not wrong, but there is a curse. There is a curse there.
Five of the last six, Kirby's lost to Bama.
He really struggles with them. Lost to them earlier this season. And then you look at how bad they looked. I can't remember if it was the second quarter or early third. I think it was the first half when Drew Bobo, Georgia center, he went down in that Georgia Tech game last week. And, man, they did not look good after he was out. And they've just been a shuffling deck of cards on that offensive line all season in terms of injuries, young guys, you know. So, like, I do have a little bit of concern there with Georgia, just how bad they looked against Georgia Tech. And Alabama's got more to play for here because they don't want to hear all that chatter, all that smoke. If they lose and lose convincingly against Georgia, people are going to be trying to knock them out of the playoffs. So I kind of think we'll get Alabama's best shot here. You know, I mean, this is when Alabama shows up. This is when Kalen DeBoer busts out that first half game script and really, you know, puts them in a blender, you know? So I kind of like Alabama's ability to maybe do that.
Let's say BYU loses to Texas Tech, which seems likely, 12.5-point dogs. But let's say Bama loses very close. Are they still in?
Yeah, I think so. Because think about it, man.
But Hunter Yurecek, the committee seems to have flipped the script. They said they will move people up and down based on championship games.
Yeah, yeah, they're trying to leave the door open for if Duke beats Virginia to where they can, you know, dock James Madison, even if they win the Sun Belt. Like, I think there's a reason he's saying that. It's because he wants the flexibility to exclude James Madison if the situation calls for it. You know what I mean? But when it comes to the SEC, can you imagine the uproar, Gabe, if the loser of the SEC champion drops from safely inside the field to outside the field for losing on a neutral field against one of the best teams in the country? I just can't see it. Especially with Yurecek as the chair. I mean, he is a sitting SEC athletic director. I cannot imagine him letting that happen.
Yeah, what really happens if Duke wins, though? I know you just sort of tried to allude to it, but what really happens?
Some difficult conversations. Difficult conversations.
Manny Diaz has been trying to say ACC should have automatic representation, but that would be an 8-5 team, and they've lost some nasty games. They lost to UConn. They lost to Tulane.
I mean, it's a brutal discussion to have because you're comparing apples and oranges. It's like comparing an Atlantic 10 team that is 29-4 to a Big Ten team that is 19-14. I mean, it's so difficult to do. This is the football version of that debate that we have every year in March with these basketball teams that have woefully unbalanced schedules. Because, I mean, yeah, James Madison's 11-1, but they hadn't beaten anybody. And yeah, Duke has five losses, but their wins are better than any of James Madison's wins. So it's an unenviable position to be in. But it would be kind of hypocritical, wouldn't it, if the week after putting James Madison in the rankings, leaving Duke unranked if they both win and then somehow Duke magically jumps James Madison. That doesn't really add up. So I think that committee's put themselves in a really, really difficult position there.
They're showing their hand, though, no, by putting James Madison in, I would think.
Well, then the question is just how much credit does Duke get if they beat a 17th-ranked Virginia team that's 10-2? And that would be viewed as a quality victory. And I think there would be a significant temptation there to put Duke in the bracket, which I can understand. Like, if you're asking me who do I think has a better chance to win a game in the playoff, Duke or James Madison, I think it's Duke. Like, you say what you want about them, but, like, they've got one of the best quarterbacks in the country on that team. Manny Diaz is a really good defensive coach. It would depend on the matchup, but I actually think Duke could win a playoff game. I'm not convinced that James Madison could.
All right, now final thing. I know when the hire was made at Arkansas with Ryan, Arkansas fans were beside themselves. Tiger fans were happy. But this week he's hit the ground running, right? He's getting donations. He got a bunch of in-state kids, which they didn't really like Sam Pittman for. He didn't really recruit in-state very well, but he got a bunch of commitment flips, Ryan did. The recruiting class is looking way better than it did under Sam Pittman. And listen, I know how Tiger fans feel about Ryan. They may be frustrated with all the quotes that have come out this week about him recruiting for Arkansas potentially while he was at Memphis. I don't know if that's exactly how it played out, but that's how people are viewing it. What are the real expectations for Ryan at Arkansas? Like, ultimately, we talked about it. I think you're sort of in the middle on the hire. But do you think this has a chance to work out?
Well, they're really working hard to excite that fan base. Like, them leaking it out that, oh, Ryan Silverfield secured a $1 million donation from a booster after speaking to him for 5 minutes.
Only $1
million? Or whatever it was. Okay. I don't know. But I'm like, what? Like, why are we working so hard to convince people that this was the right hire? And it's a little bit unsettling, but I think it's working. I think they're doing a good job of kind of getting that fan base on board. I guess I understand it, but it to me, it's kind of sad. Like when you have to message so hard behind the scenes and lead a pep rally, basically to get people excited about your head coach. Having said all that, I do hope Ryan Silverfield is successful there. But I think we just need to have a real conversation about what success is at Arkansas in a 9-game SEC era when you are surrounded on all sides by SEC and they are surrounded on all sides now in this era by SEC programs with better resources, with bigger stadiums, with more history. And yet it still feels like Arkansas fans expect to be where they were at the peak of the Bobby Petrino era and I just don't understand that. I just don't think that's realistic, especially not when you're so heavily invested in football, or excuse me, in baseball and in men's basketball. I think realistic expectations for Ryan Silverfield are to make a bowl game 80% of the time. I mean, I think that's
right.
That would be success to me, and that's not all that different than what Brett Bielema and Sam Pittman did. So what does that look like in the long term? How do you keep that fan base happy? Honestly, I don't know. I don't know how you do it. But I don't think expectations should be any higher than that, given where that program stands in the SEC and national pecking order.
They're so strange because it feels like they have a bunch of big donors, but they don't necessarily. I mean, they're all in on Calipari. And I've talked to some like people that have worked in Arkansas and Arkansas fans. They baseball is huge there, so it's like football really is kind of third for them of the major sports. But we'll see how it works out for Ryan. I think he's hit the ground running, though. Got staff's coming together. Although, what did you think of the he's going to bring Cramsey over from Memphis? OC.
Okay. Well, the big one I saw earlier was he announced Ron Roberts, didn't he? Or maybe that was
– I'm not familiar. It was Ron Roberts. I'm not familiar with his game.
Well
– any good?
Florida fans are very much over him, although I honestly don't think he was the problem. I mean, he was the defensive coordinator for the Billy Napier teams that flamed out. But I actually thought Florida's defense was pretty good for the first two-thirds of this season.
Until they gave up and their coach was gone.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right. I don't think he's horrible. But no, I mean, I the Cramsey hire, I think, is makes sense. You want some continuity. You want to have some of that familiarity, especially with somebody in such an important role. So I think it's a good hire. I think he's done, I think Ryan has done everything he can. I think Arkansas has done everything they can for him to make the best of a, let's call it what it was, a difficult situation for Arkansas. When you get basically jilted by Alex Scholes, you got to pivot. Ryan knows he wasn't their first choice. The fans have been very clear that he wasn't their first choice. But that doesn't mean that it can't work out. It's just, I just hope Arkansas fans have rational expectations about what working out actually means in this era.
I hear that. Well, David, I'll let you go to the weekend. Enjoy championship weekend. We'll be texting back and forth, I'm sure. But appreciate you. We'll talk Monday.
All right, bro. Sounds good.
All right, man. Lee Sterling is a man with the plan to make you money for championship weekend. He joins me now via the phone line at Paramount Sports. Go to ParamountSports.com for all of his picks. And Locked On Bets co-host and co-host of Picking the Locks, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Lee, how's it going?
I'm good. I'm ready to go. I want to find a way to get Miami in this college football playoff. If not, we're going to burn the place down.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to look. I don't know how they're going to get in there, but we will see. Okay. Now, the ACC title game, I think they should have been involved, but the tiebreakers were stupid. You should probably just take whoever's ranked highest in the college football playoff. That's probably my opinion. Right. But we have Virginia versus Duke, 7-5 Duke. And if Duke wins, this will be wild. Virginia, 3.5-point favorites. They're in the top 25. They're in the college football playoff rankings. 10-2. How do we feel about it?
If Duke wins, probably James Madison's going to be in. So I think Virginia's going to win, though. They have finally caught their stride again. Chandler Morris playing good football since the last game against Duke 3 weeks ago. And Duke's defense had 4 sacks in that game. They ranked 28th in sacks. Duke's defense is bottom 10 in almost every major statistical category. I like the Cavs here, 31-24.
Now to the SEC title game, Georgia is -2.5 against Bama. Even though Bama beat them earlier in the year, to me it feels like one team is trending in the wrong direction, even though they've won in Bama, and one has been trending in the right direction in Georgia. That win against Texas by 25 was very impressive, but we know that Kirby has the Alabama block. He's lost 5 of the last 6 against them. How do you see it?
I think he's got a chance to break through here. I think Alabama, they have a ton of injuries. They might be down 5-6 starters for this game. And just think that it's going to be almost like a home game in the Mercedes Dome. Alabama was outgained by 131 yards to Auburn and also barely scored. These were 2 touchdowns against LSU. We're going to have chaos here on Sunday at 11 a.m. I have Georgia winning this game 34-14.
This one, next one, depresses me because the Tigers aren't in it. But North Texas -2.5 against Tulane. How do you see it?
Different approach here. We're going to play the over 66.5 total points here. Drew Mestemaker is really good. I mean, he's going to probably end up at a top school. He's going to transfer, I feel. And he's completing almost 71% of his passes here. On the other side, when they played last year, Tulane ran the ball for 297 yards. And they didn't have a dual-threat quarterback. Now they got Jake Retzlaff over 66.5. This total might go over 90.
Now, NFL, Bills and Bengals, Josh Allen versus Joe Burrow. Now, Bengals are kind of down and out, but, hey, it is what it is. It was a good win last week. Bills -5.5.
I like Cincinnati here. When Joe Burrow's on the field, they're number one in time of possession last 2 years on the road. And I think Buffalo's fraudulent. They're up and down. They're not the same team they were the last couple of years. Don't like the offensive line. Think the receiver's not getting any separation. And I think they got a bunch of weak links on the defense here. Wrong team favorite. Cincinnati straight up 30-27.
Now, Colts trending in the wrong direction, and they have a big matchup against the Jags for playoff positioning. They're -1.5. We know Daniel Jones has the broken leg, though.
Yeah. You know, I think he's going to be able to do a decent job here. Here's the problem. Everyone's going to play Jacksonville. Getting 1.5 at home, don't fall for the trap. Jacksonville's down 1 offensive line starter. I got a real good source. They might be down another 2 for this game here. If you have to play without 3 starters in offensive line, you're in trouble here. Indianapolis finally breaks through after 10 straight losses, 27-20.
All right, now Packers-Bears is your game of the week. How do my listeners find it?
Love this game. I know your brother probably watching. He'll have eyes on it. You want to get this game for free. Packers and Bears, call 800-400-9741. Get the game for free and check out all our specials. We're on a 37-17-1 run in the NFL. We haven't had a losing weekend in 6 weeks. So you want to hop on board, just one place for the football in UFC, ParamountSports.com.
You the man, Lee. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, buddy.
Now, if you want to lock in some of the bets, some of the locks that Lee Sterling just gave you, you need to go to Caesars Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. They've done renovations. You have to see it. 20 HD TV screens. You're always going to see the game that you're betting on, and they will change it if it is not on when you walk in. And they have great seating. It's plush. It's beautiful. It's better than what you have in your living room. Whether you're all in on your favorite team or just love the thrill of big matchups in college football, it's the spot to feel every play, every score, and every win. And with championship weekend coming up, they are ready to have you in. And if you're just sitting there, they'll bring you food and drink. You can order a beer, but you can also place an order from their game day menu. $1 wings from Flavortown by Guy Fieri. You'll get that gourmet food delivered directly to you. And they have a full-service sports betting experience, in-game wagering, staff betting windows, and 10 self-betting kiosks. Make sure you get into Caesar Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica. We will see you on Saturday. You must be 21 or older to gamble. Know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Now let's go ahead and wrap this thing up with small talk next. The weekend is here and the holidays are here as well. And a lot of people tell you they spread holiday cheer, but with Old Dominic Distillery, I promise you, Connor can tell you as well, they live that life. They absolutely spread that holiday cheer. Not only is the spirit from Old Dominic going to bring it, always drink responsibly, of course, but making it down to 305 South Front Street is always a good choice. I was there a couple weekends ago. They have great drinks, and they have the best staff in the world. Book a tour and tasting also with family during the holidays and grab some holiday cheer today. And don't forget to book your holiday events. Go to olddominic.com and fill out the questionnaire. They will handle it from there. Old Dominic Distillery, come say hi. All right, Brad, let's get to small talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Marathon gas stations, every stop is the start of fun. Like the awesome fuel savings you can get with Marathon Rewards. Join Marathon Rewards today and start earning rewards on every gallon of gas. You can redeem rewards at any time, saving up to $1 per gallon. And don't forget, Marathon stations are packed with all the conveniences you need to stock up and live life on the go. Marathon, where fun runs on full. Available at participating Marathon locations. Terms and conditions apply. See MarathonRewards.com for details.
When it comes to same-day grocery delivery, Shipt knows your expectations are high. You didn't just order cookies. You ordered the coconut macaroons that help you power through 3 p.m. meetings. And you definitely didn't just order baby carrots. You ordered the one veggie your kindergartner willingly snacks on. With Shipt, you don't just order groceries. You order attentive service from personal shoppers who care about the details. See the difference by downloading the app or visiting Shipt.com. That's Shipt.com.
Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit AutoTrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. Auto Trader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. I just wanted to go through the championship games coming up tonight and tomorrow. And I wanted, Connor, me and you are going to make some picks. What do we think about that? Coming up here at 6 o'clock, Kennesaw State and Jacksonville State. Kennesaw State minus 2.5. Let's get Jerry Mack.
Yeah, I'll take
Future Tiger.
I'm going to take Kennesaw. Whoa.
You're sold. You're ready to go. All right, Troy James Madison. I'm taking James Madison. They're minus 24.5 in the championship.
Yeah,
game.
I'm taking James Madison.
And Troy has gotten better from the beginning of the year. That kind of aged pretty decent for the Tigers, although they lost three straight to end the year. North Texas Tulane, very, very interesting. I'm going to take Tulane plus the 1.5. I think they win straight up.
I'm going to take North Texas.
Okay, UNLV Boise State tonight. Brad, you can add your pick in here as well. Boise State minus 6. Boise State already beat them in the regular season.
This is tough on the blue turf. Got to go with Boise. I'm sorry. And I hope they upset them, though, of course.
I think I agree with Brad. Being on the blue turf matters.
It's hard to beat a team twice. I'm going with UNLV to cover. I think Boise State wins by a field goal. Tomorrow, Big 12 championship, BYU, Texas Tech. I'm taking Texas Tech minus the 12.5 even.
Yeah, that seems fair.
We'll skip the MAC. SEC title game, Georgia, Bama. I'm taking Georgia.
I'm also taking Georgia.
I think they're trending
at the right time.
Both these teams are trending in the wrong in different directions. Alabama's going down. Georgia's going up. Indiana, Ohio State. I want to see Indiana win. I think Ohio State runs away with it. Connor?
I think Ohio State, yeah.
And then Duke, Virginia. I'm taking Duke for the fun. I hope it happens.
Oh, Duke would be amazing.
I hope it happens, too.
Yeah, I'll go with Duke.
Give me two G5 teams with all the complaining everybody has done around G5 teams getting bids into the college football playoff. All right, Connor, we have some people to thank, and it's been a phenomenal week here at the Regalia Shopping Center for our toy truck drive.
While Gabe and I have been doing the show here at Regalia Shopping Center, we have had an influx of toys, and I can confidently say that our third day is the best day that we've had so far, and we just have to thank Regalia Shopping Center, Gossett Motor Cars, Salvation Army for making this possible, and thank you to Dazzle, Indigo, My Eye Doctor, Oak Hall, The Fitting Place, Curated Interiors, Bog and Barley, Paradise Cafe, Ronnie Grisanti's, Ruth's Chris, Salsa, Sweet Lala's, and Owen Brennan for allowing us to be here at Regalia, and thank you to Boyle. I've been doing, this is my 8th toy truck, and this has been the most successful, most fulfilling.
We've got about 30 seconds. Shout out to you, Connor, for your hard work with all three stations this week, and to you as well, Gabe. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, well, that's a wrap for today and the week. Thanks to Lee Sterling, David Cobb, and DeMichael Cole for their contributions to today's show. We'll meet back here same time on Monday. In the meantime, we'll pass you off to Amber and Ian, then the Grizzlies game versus the Clippers. For Connor, for Brad, I'm Gabe. Be easy, be safe, and enjoy your weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Marathon gas stations, every stop is the start of fun, like the awesome fuel savings you can get with Marathon Rewards. Join Marathon Rewards today and start earning rewards on every gallon of gas. You can redeem rewards at any time, saving up to $1 per gallon. And don't forget, Marathon stations are packed with all the conveniences you need to stock up and live life on the go. Marathon, where fun runs on full. Available at participating Marathon locations. Terms and conditions apply. See MarathonRewards.com for details.
Next time your to-do list is too dang long, you Shipt same-day delivery. Shipt is a one-stop shopping and delivery solution for, well, just about anything. Groceries? Shopped and delivered carefully by awesome shoppers from your neighborhood grocer. Pet supplies? Picked up and dropped to your door from PetSmart. Crafts, tools, medicine? All deliverable from Michaels, Lowe's Home Improvement, CVS, and so many other stores. Ready to get things done? Download the Shipt app or visit Shipt.com. That's Shipt.com.
Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit AutoTrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really? Once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really? Auto Trader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.